Well, hi out there, and welcome to... And now, the world's foremost authority.
This is the ElectionWise podcast for Minnesota Public Radio News. I'm Molly Bloom.
And I'm Curtis Gilbert. This is the last episode of the ElectionWise podcast.
With the election over and attention completely shifted to the incoming administration, it is time for us to move on.
I'm starting to understand how George W. Bush feels.
We should take a cue from him and other lame duck presidents to try to squeeze as much as we can into our remaining 5 minutes.
Where does that come from anyway, lame duck?
Oh, David Greenberg knows. He's a professor of history, journalism, and media studies at Rutgers University.
The term actually goes back to the London Stock Exchange.
And its earliest known usage was in the 18th century.
Basically, a lame duck is a broker who defaults on his debt.
And the phrases bull and bear markets also have the same origin.
So I guess animals were just the metaphors of choice.
And the term started being applied to elected officials in the early 1900s.
An official technically becomes a lame duck after the election when his or her successor is chosen.
And while a lame duck president may not be able to get a lot done legislatively, the president still has a good deal of power.
Oftentimes, lame duck presidents make significant changes through executive orders, through changes in regulation, through other presidential powers that don't require going out to the public or going out to Congress and making your case.
And George W. Bush is no exception. His administration is busily trying to enact dozens of rules and changes to regulation before he leaves office in January.
Just this week, they finalized a regulation that will allow doctors, nurses, and pharmacists to refuse to perform practices that they find morally objectionable, including providing contraception.
They're also working to loosen environmental regulations, allow loaded guns in federal parks, and allow greater surveillance by law enforcement, among other changes.
As a sort of mirror image to the lame duck period, there is that period of when a president first comes in, when he or she is expected to honor the party's longstanding positions and sign certain executive orders reversing the previous president's policies.
Incoming presidents can make these changes, but it's not as easy for incoming presidents as outgoing ones.
For instance, JFK had promised to desegregate federal housing. Clinton said he would deal with gays in the military.
But they had to take other routes besides executive orders due to political pressure.
Outgoing presidents don't have these same concerns.
The idea with a lame duck, of course, is that you're on your way out the door. It doesn't matter if they punish you.
And these 11th-hour changes by outgoing candidates predate the use of the term lame duck. The first was our second president, John Adams.
He created a number of new federal judgeships and filled them with what came to be known as the Midnight Judges.
Another popular act by outgoing presidents is the presidential pardon.
We're still waiting to see who Bush will pardon, but our last president, Bill Clinton, pardoned nearly 150 people in the last 3 weeks of his term.
So, any last-minute rules or pardons we should try to make before our podcast ends?
I pardon you for beatboxing.
Oh, and I pardon you for rapping.
You're not well-known, so you have to raise the money to become well-known, but you can't raise the money because you're not well-known.
You're not well-known, so you have to raise the money to become well-known, but you can't raise the money because you're not well-known.
What do you think of my beatboxing?
I think it's pretty good. So, Wellstone's incumbent opponent outspent him 7-1. And we jointly pardon our editor, Mike Mulcahy, for making James Madison sound like this.
The greater number of citizens and extent of territory which may be brought within the compass of Republican government. And it is this circumstance principally which renders factious combinations less to be dreaded. And furthermore...
Can you say that in a way that, like, we'll be able to understand?
Well, let's see. Like, you know, our country is way big and way diverse, so no way will we American dudes be able to agree on stuff. And no way will we be able to form big national parties.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Word to your mother.
Technically, we wrote that, so...
Pardon stands.
This has been the ElectionWise podcast.
Many thanks this week to David Greenberg from Rutgers University.
And thanks to Mike Mulcahy for providing guidance and silly voices week after week.
It's a lot of fun to do.
An extra special thanks to our listeners.
Without your questions, this podcast would not have been possible.
And because it's only good if people are listening.
For Minnesota Public Radio News, I'm Curtis Gilbert.
And I'm Molly Bloom.
Is that good?
It's only good when people listen. But if people don't listen to it, then it's no good.